Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for the day and for the beauty of this day. We ask you to bless us and bless us abundantly and give us revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding from your mighty word as we read it and study it. In Jesus' name, we praise you for this day. Amen. Now that we've been talking this last week about how to get saved, what becomes ours when we do become children of God. And there's far more things than we ever dreamed of, or at least that was the case with me. When I began to research the scriptures and studying the owner's manual, I began to find there's many, many, many things that belong to me that I didn't know was mine. But I had to receive it all by faith. So now then, after I realized, you know, that all those things belong to me, salvation's mine, healing is mine, redemption from the curse was mine, and I found out about the curse. And then after I come on down, I found out also that the Lord had given me, according to 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 18, he had given me the ministry of reconciliation. I want to read this here in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5, 18. And it says, and all these things are from God who brought us back to himself through what Christ Jesus did. And God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into his favor and be reconciled to him. For God was in Christ restoring the world to himself. Listen to this next verse line. No longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, receive the love he offers you, be reconciled to God. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. Now, is that good news? I'm telling you, I don't care how bad you've been. When you become a born-again Christian and you get saved and cleaned up, then he gives you this ministry of reconciliation. You can go and tell others that it makes no difference what they've done, makes no difference how bad they've been. If they will come to Christ and accept him by faith, he's not even holding your sins against you at this point. He'll wash them all away, put them under the blood, and he'll make you just as if you had never sinned a sin in your life. He will clean you up that clean and make you not only just righteous, but he will make you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is the ministry of reconciliation. What an awesome privilege that he's given you and me, that ministry. The ministry of reconciliation is laid out in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20 and 21. Why in the world is more Christians not out telling people how to get saved and what Christ has done for us? I'll tell you, most of them are just like I was most of my life. As a Sunday school teacher and a Baptist deacon, I didn't know these things. I didn't know these things belonged to me. But yet when I began to read these things and really listen to this book, and read this book slow and meditate on this book, I found out what belonged to me as a Christian. Everything belongs to me as a Christian. I virtually don't have to pray for anything. It's already mine. As a child of God, all I got to do is learn how to talk. Speak it in the name of Jesus, and it comes to pass. But he's given us this great and awesome privilege to have this ministry of reconciliation toward other men, that we can go tell them these men that all these things are theirs just like it was ours, and that he is no longer counting their sins against them, but blotting them out because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to learn? Now, all of these things belong to you and me as Christians. All we have to do is lay hold to them by faith. By faith. How do you obtain this kind of faith? What it is, it's knowledge of the Word of God. That's what this kind of faith is. As you begin to read this book, slowly meditate on it, then faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, knowledge comes by hearing. Understanding comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, as you begin to read this and study it, you will understand these things are for you, and you can receive them by faith. Now then, once you got all this under your hat, let's go now and see what the Scripture says about healing your body. I know there's lots of people out there in the body of Christ that are sick. So when you come to Christ and get saved, and He gives you, redeems you from sin, redeems you from the curse, and redeems you from all these things that we talked about, and gives you all of this, also one of the things that goes with it is healing of your physical body. So as a Christian, you walk obedience to God's Word, love Him and serve Him, and be obedient to Him, submit yourself to Him and walk in obedience. You don't have to be sick. He will protect you. He promises it. Now let's go back and look in the atonement here. In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, over 700 years before Christ came to pay the price, let's see what the prophet Isaiah said. Now the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, starting with verse 4, "Surely He has borne our griefs." Who's He talking about? Surely He has borne our griefs. He's talking about Jesus. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Not going to be, we are healed. Now then, let's come over to the New Testament, and let's look at some revelation that we get here in the New Testament. Let's look and see what He says here. In Matthew 8, 16 and 17, it says, "When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." Now, when evening had come, they brought to Him, that's Jesus, many people that were demonized. Now, there's a difference between being demon-possessed and demonized. Now, demonized means you have demons in your flesh. Now, Christians can most definitely have demons in your flesh. They can even get into your soul if you're not careful. But that's what makes us sick, and that's what made these people sick. This is what caused these people to be crippled and bowed over and all these things. So these demonic spirits are the same demonic spirits that done it to those people that are doing it to us. But you have to realize that's who's doing it. And you have to realize and understand the power we have over these things. All power is given to us as God's children over the evil spirits. And it says, "And He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." Verse 17 says, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Now, if Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, there's not any use in me and Him both having it. So I'm going to let Him keep it. If He bore that sickness for me, then there's not any use in me going getting it and putting it on me. So I'm going to let Jesus keep it. So Jesus bore it and throwed it away. He doesn't have it no more, and He doesn't want you to have it anymore either. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who Himself, Jesus, bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed." Now, wait a minute. In 1 Peter 2:24, if Jesus Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, then why do so many Christians not live righteous? Because they don't know these things. They don't know how to receive them by faith, and they don't know they're supposed to go and walk holy before God. Now then, when you learn that Jesus took your sins upon Himself, and He bore your sins so you don't never have to sin again. That should make you want to walk as holy as you can. That should make you want to leave your old man dead. And as long as your old man is dead, that old man can never come back and sin again. If we are dead to sins, how in, as Paul said in Romans, how therein can anyone who is dead to sin sin any longer? Well, if you stay dead to sin, you cannot sin any longer. But the problem is, most people don't stay dead to sins. When they're tempted or tested or whatever, they immediately bring the old man back to life. They resurrect him from the dead, and they reach out there and get somebody. And when they do, they have just sinned. You have sinned, and when you sin, you break the law. You transgress the law of God, and the devil has legal right to come get you. So he will torment you. Don't give that devil legal right to do this. This says here, if Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Let's do that. Let's consider ourselves dead to sin and live righteous. Because if we live righteous, then the next part of that says, by whose stripes you were healed. If I was healed, I am healed, then there's no sense in me being sick anymore. That is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to learn. Because if I was healed by the stripes of Jesus, then I am healed, and I am not going to be sick again. Now then, in Mark chapter 5, verse 34, there was a woman that came to Jesus that needed healing. And this woman said, she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. Now see, this woman is saying the right things. She believes in her heart, and she's confessing with her mouth. Where is your miracle? It's in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith that we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart the Father raised him from the dead, you'll be sozo. The word sozo, S-O-Z-O, is used 120 times in the Greek text in 103 different verses in the King James Bible, and it means saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. So if it means saved, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you're saved. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe with your heart you're healed, you'll be healed, because Jesus healed you on the cross 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. We'll talk about this some more tomorrow. If you'd like to have some teachings on these things, give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you audio and video tapes free and postpaid. Or you can go to the web and get a complete list of items, and you can even place an order on the web at tlsm.org. And remember, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you do for us, for this magnificent book. And we thank you for the Word of God that sets us free. Now bless the Word as it goes out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, right up front, I'd like to invite you, if you have any kind of problem with sickness and disease and you're having troubles getting healed, we have a healing school, in fact, two of them a month, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We teach a four-hour healing school on Saturday afternoon, the second Saturday and the fourth Saturday of every month. Those are, one of them is in the North Dallas area, the other one's in Justin, Texas, which is about an hour's drive from there. But all this information is on our website, www.tlsm.org, and you have dates of where we are, the television shows we're on, the radio stations we're on, and everything. You can get all that information there, where we're going to be speaking at different places, as well as all of our healing schools. In fact, if you would like to host a healing school in your church, we would be happy to come to your area and teach one. We do this quite often all over the country, and we have many praise reports from many different people. Everywhere we go, how the Lord does wonderful things in the area of healing and deliverance. We serve an awesome God. He is absolutely magnificently wonderful in what He has done for us. But anyway, if you're interested, if you need to be healed, or if you'd like to host a healing school, if you'll give us a call at our number, which is, we're going to quote it at the end of the message today, but I'll give it to you now. It's 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And also we have many, many teachings that we've made in the last several years on healing and deliverance and just the Word of God in general, many subjects, and we send out all of our information free and postpaid. We don't charge for our information. So if you need some teaching that'll teach you who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ, call our ministry center. They'll be happy to send you a box of tapes, be happy to put you on our monthly mailing list if you'd like to be on that list. And then also, if you want to know how to get to the healing schools, all the information is on the website, www.tlsm.org. Now, TLSM stands for The Living Savior Ministries. TLSM.org. So if you'd like to host a healing school, like to have us come to your area or whatever, just give us a call and we will be glad to talk with you about that. Now then, today we're going to go and we're going to talk a little bit more about in Christ, how we are blessed. Now, in Christ, we are blessed tremendously. But as usual, for most of my life, I didn't know these things. And when I begin to read this book, and find out that this book is an awesome book. This is an owner's manual written by the Creator to the created being. That's us. When I begin to get a hold of scriptures like Ephesians 1:3, I want you to listen to what Paul said here. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." How many spiritual blessings did he bless us with? All of them. Well, then, what are we out here praying for all this stuff for? Because we don't know. It's already ours. All we got to do is claim it. Now, I want to read it in the, that was a King James. I want to read it in the Living Bible. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, "How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in heaven because we belong to Christ." How many of these blessings belong to us? All of them. It's not that we're going to get them. They're already ours. He blessed us with them. Now, this is one of those in Christ scriptures. Now, he did not say he would bless us. He said he already has given us everything we'll ever need to live a victorious life. Now, can you imagine? Everything has already been given to you to live a victorious life. All we have to do is believe Him and receive it by faith. Now, again, we go back to Romans 10:17. How do you learn these things? So then faith or knowledge in the Word of God comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, because this is true and the Lord put these things in His book for us, we need to hear all He has to say. Now, He has made us some absolute awesome statements in this book. So let's listen to this book as we talk today. Let's talk a little bit about some of these things. Let's go to Psalms 119:130. Psalms 119:130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Think about that. As the entrance of these words, they give light, and it gives understanding unto the simple. Well, I'm simple. And I'm sure you're simple just like me. God made a lot of simple people. We are wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made, I will say. But still, we're simple people. And God wrote a simple book to us to tell us what he would do for us. As you hear God's word, your faith is increased. Now, I want to take you to a scripture that, let's just think about this. Now, if you're in the church or if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is for you. Now, here is a guarantee in God's word to heal every person every time under every condition. Now, when people say, but it's not God's will to heal everybody every time. Well, that's not what the word of God says. I want you to see, and maybe your Bible don't read like mine, but I'm going to read this. James 5:14. James 5:14, 15, and 16. In James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? Well, now, I don't know about you, but I'm just simple enough to believe if God says, is any sick among you, that's what he meant. Any of us. Now, it's not supposed to be any sick among you, but if they are, he says, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, so far, this doesn't sound very hard, does it? Let him call for the elders. Well, if you've got older men that are well seasoned in the Word of God, they should know these things, and you call for those men. Now, don't get a bunch of young guys out there that don't know nothing, or a bunch of young men that appear to know a whole lot, but they're very unstable. You never want to use a young person very powerfully in the Word until he's got at least 10 years under his belt. You want to give him a little time to get solid because it's too easy for them to be drawn off by the world. But that's what Paul said too. So, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Now, he didn't say the prayer of unbelief. He said the prayer of faith. What's the difference between a prayer of faith and a prayer of unbelief? A prayer of unbelief is, O God, if it be your will you please heal brother or sister so-and-so? That is a miserable prayer of unbelief. That is not a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is anointing the brother or sister with oil, rebuking the devil, commanding him to get his hands off of him, and asking the Lord to send the Holy Spirit to restore and heal everything the devil messed up and thanking him for doing it. That's the prayer of faith. Then after you do that, you tell the person, get up, you're healed. Jesus Christ has healed you. Get up and go do something in Jesus' name. That's true prayers of faith. And in verse 15, it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now then, if you do not know you're righteous, you can't pray the prayer. The devil will beat you. But you must know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. It's not by your righteousness that you're going to get this done, but it's by faith in the name of Jesus, and it's through his righteousness that you're going to get this done. So when you realize that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, you have your sins all confessed, you're just as holy and clean as Jesus is. In fact, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's going to do this. It's not going to be you, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he will do it. He'll do it every time when you do it in faith. I mean, I have prayed this prayer of faith in James 5:14 over people in hospitals on their deathbed with terminal cancer and seen them healed. Not just once or twice, but several times. In fact, I went over to a hospital the other day. And a doctor took me over there. It's been two years ago. And there was a woman on her deathbed, already comatose, in Medical City in North Dallas. And this doctor took me over there after church Sunday night and asked me if I'd pray for her. and her husband were Baptists, and I used this set of verses, James 5:14, and I showed the man what was available, and did he believe God? And he said, well, absolutely, I believe God's word. Now, that's one thing I'll have to say about the Baptists. The Baptists, they study the Bible. They just don't understand it very well, or they only study parts of it. But when you show a Baptist these kind of scriptures, usually they will believe it. Well, this Baptist guy did. He said, wow, I didn't know that verse was in there. I said, well, see, that's your problem. That's why you can't fight the fight of faith. You got to know what's in God's word. So here his wife is in ICU, comatose already. The doctors tell me she's going to die one day this week. It's all over. But yet, I asked him on behalf of that, since him and her is one in Christ, I asked him if he'd let me go in and anoint his wife with oil and pray the prayer of faith for her, and we believe God that he'll heal her. He said, absolutely. So he said, I don't want my wife to die. She's too young to die. Said, okay. So I go in there at his request, and I anoint this woman with oil, pray the prayer of faith for her on a Sunday night, and she starts immediately getting well, and by the next day she's already awake and conscious, and the next Monday morning, a week later, not the next morning, but a week later on Monday, they released her from the hospital, and she went home. Now, this is what you can do if you believe God's word. Now, this verse is for healing for everybody in the church every time, if you'll believe it. James 5, 14, 15, and 16. We'll continue on tomorrow. If you'd like these kind of teachings, we'd be happy to send them to you. They're free and postpaid. Just give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And there you can order what you want. It's all free and postpaid. Remember, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner today with the Living Savior Ministry. We're talking about healing this week. Let's go to the Word here in just a moment, since we come to the Father in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for your Word. You said in Psalms 107, verse 20, you sent forth your Word and healed them. So it's your Word that heals us. It's your Word that sets us free. And we praise you and thank you for the Word of God, which can never be broken, which is forever settled in heaven. And I praise you and thank you for revealing it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, yesterday we talked in great detail about a guarantee in God's Word to heal every Christian every time. And it's in James 5, 14, 15, and 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, now not of unbelief, but the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now then, you have to know that you're a righteous man to be able to pray the prayer of faith. If you do not know that you are righteous, you can't pray this prayer. The devil will beat you every time. He will condemn you and get you into unbelief, and you will not be able to pray the prayer of faith. But let us see what the Word of God says about this. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you believe with your heart Jesus is Lord, you believe unto righteousness. Now, when you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you have become a new creature in Christ, and you have become the righteousness of God in Christ. Then, when you learn that, you will most definitely be able to pray the prayer of faith for people and see many wonderful things happen. Now then, let us see what the Word says about where we should live on the earth if we know who we are in Christ. Now, this is a tremendous scripture in Romans 5:17. I mean, it's amazing how you can read over these things and you just skim down through these things. And sometimes they soak in and sometimes they don't. Well, when they don't, you was not getting any revelation from the Holy Ghost. But if you're praying and you're seeking God to give you revelation and wisdom and understanding from the Word of God, as you read over these powerful scriptures, He will give you this revelation. In verse 17, Romans 5:17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Now then, one man's offense, death reigned. Who was that? That was Adam. And it says, by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Now then, who's he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus doing what he did, and then by us learning these things, we will receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. And after we do that, then we shall reign when? In life. That's right now. By one, Jesus Christ. Now then, let me read it to you in Romans 5:17 out of the Living Bible. "As the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to be king over all. But all who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal are kings of life because of this one man, Jesus Christ." Now, because of what Jesus did for you and me on the cross, you and I can become kings of life. We can reign in life, reign and rule with the King. Not during the millennium. Yeah, we'll reign and rule with him during the millennium. But we can reign and rule right now, because John 10:10 confirms this, that the Lord Jesus didn't come just to bring us life, but he come to give us abundant life. Now then, if he come to give us abundant life, then why are so few Christians living in the abundant life? Because we spend too much time with the world and not with God. So if you'll begin to spend time with the Lord and study His Word and pray over His Word, I mean, He will give you this revelation. You start spending 1 or 2 or 3 hours a day, you know, in the Word of God. You will be amazed at what the King will do for you. He will give you tremendous revelation. So if you just believe the Lord, you will begin to act on scriptures like Mark 11:22 and 23. I want to read this. This is an awesome in 24. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful verse. Mark 11:22. And I'm going to read this to you in the Living Bible. "In reply, Jesus said to the disciples, 'If you only have faith in God.'" Now that is one giant statement. If you only have faith in God. I don't know why it is we have so much problem having faith in God. I guess it's because He's invisible and we can't see Him. The only thing we can do is see His Word. So it just never ceases to amaze me how many years it took me to begin to develop faith or trust in it is written in this book. But it says, "In reply, Jesus said to the disciples, 'If you only have faith in God.'" This is the absolute truth. "You can say to this Mount of Olives, 'Rise up and fall into the Mediterranean Sea,' and your command will be obeyed." All that's required is that you really believe and have no doubt. What a statement. All that's required is that you really believe and have no doubt. Then verse 24, he says, "Listen to me. You can pray for anything. And if you believe, you have it. It's yours." That's kind of like a normal man speaking to a normal man. "Listen to me. Pay attention to me. How many people talk and the guy that you're talking to is thinking about what he's going to say and he's not even thinking about what you're saying to him? I see this all the time with people. But in this case, you better listen to what the Word says. Jesus has made you one powerful statement here. He says, listen to me in verse 24 of Mark 11. You can pray for anything, and if you believe you have it, it's yours. Now, I'm telling you, that's a pretty powerful statement. Now, I took that very verse right there about, well, it's been a couple of years ago, I guess. Yeah, about 2 years, a little over 2 years ago. My granddaughter, her valve in her throat had been injured in an automobile accident. And they had a plug in her tummy and said she would probably never be able to eat anything by mouth again. Well, with this book and these promises, I'm not about to believe that. So I took this Mark 11:24 and I prayed over that valve in her throat and asked the Lord to fix it. And I thanked him for doing it. But we took her back 2 months later for a checkup, and it didn't work. I thought, well, now I wonder why that didn't work. So I come back, and I spoke over it again, and I praised the Lord and thanked him for it. And we took her back 2 months later, and it still didn't work. I couldn't understand what I'd done wrong. But we did this every 2 months for 10 months. At the end of the 10th month, the valve had not worked. In fact, the doctor told us. He said, it's not worked. In 10 months, it will probably never work. I don't receive that. I will not receive that at all. Because Jesus said in Mark 11:24, he made a statement here, something is wrong. He says, listen to me, you can pray for anything, and if you believe it, you have it, it's yours. Well, I'd done something wrong, obviously. So I made sure that every sin was repented of. I had no known sins of any kind. And then I come here and found out that my sin was right here in this word. He says, when you pray, you must believe you've received it. Well, I hadn't believed right then, because if I had believed, I'd have fed her. But I didn't believe, so I was waiting for the doctor to tell me it worked before I would feed her. So I repented for my unbelief for God's word. I asked the Father in Jesus' name on behalf of Mark 11:24 to fix the valve in her throat. And then after I did, I said, thank you, Lord, it's done, because it's written in your word. I walked across the street to her house. I told her, Daddy, I said, Toby, God's waiting on you and me. He said, what do you mean? I said, I prayed. I've asked the Lord, according to Mark 11:24, to fix Caitlin's valve in her throat. And I said, it's done. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to feed her. He said, Thurman, the doctor said if I feed her, it'll run into her lungs and kill her. And he said, we just come back from the doctor 2 weeks ago and it didn't work. I said, I know. 2 weeks ago it didn't work. I said, this morning it didn't work. But right now it does. He said, how do you know? I said, the word of God says it does. I said, give her something to eat. So he got a little bowl of applesauce and a little bottle of juice, and he set it in front of her, and she came and jumped up at the table and sat down there, and she ate for the first time in 10 months on behalf of Mark 11:24. She ate a bowl of applesauce and drank a glass of juice. And from that day to this, which is, like I say, been at least 2 years, maybe over 2 years, she has eaten normal every day since that day. That takes faith to act on God's word like that. But you got to believe it. Jesus is saying to us, listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe you have it, it's yours. What do you got to do? You've got to believe right then that it is yours. Now, this is something that's very difficult to do. I will have to say it took great faith that day to feed my granddaughter that applesauce. But I knew this book had to be true. Now, I knew this book could not lie. This is the only book in the world that's forever settled in heaven and cannot fail. But you have to believe it, and you have to act on it. Now, God says he watches over his word to perform his word. So if you act on this word like it's written, it has to work. Then he says here, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you have it, it is yours. Now, who are we going to believe? God or the world? Well, I'm going to believe God. If you'd like some entire teachings, audio and video teachings on these subjects, just give us a call. Everything we send out is free and postpaid. We don't charge for anything. Our phone number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Also, you can get to us on the web. We have a list of stuff there where we're speaking and our tapes and some of our tapes. And it's www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And remember, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. We're talking about healing this week and these powerful scriptures that can get you healed every time in the name of Jesus. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and worship you and thank you for the Word of God, this magnificent book, the Owner's Manual. We are so grateful for this book. Lord, may you bless the Word today as it goes out. Reveal it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, some of the things that we ask God for, that we beg and plead for, it already belongs to us as children of God. But I didn't know these things for a lot of years. But now then, I'm learning some of them, and I'm learning how to make these things work for me. Now then, yesterday we were talking about one of these magnificent promises in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, which is really a blank check for the Christian, providing you're walking in obedience to God's Word with your sins confessed. Now, what he says, you must walk in a love relationship for these things to work also. Now, the average Christian today does not really walk in love, but according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, your faith works through love. So if you don't walk in love, your faith don't work. And so that's why you don't get your prayers answered a lot of times. But now here is a absolute, magnificent, glorious promise that we talked about in detail yesterday. I'm just going to just kind of skim over it today. But Jesus said to the disciples, if you only have faith in God. Now if you have faith in God, he says, this is the absolute truth. You can say to this Mount of Olives, rise up and fall into the Mediterranean, and your command will be observed. All that's required is that you really believe and have no doubt. Now then, verse 24 says, listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe you have it, it's yours. Those are awesome promises. Now then, we're going to go to Matthew 21:21, and also this is a Living Bible, Matthew 21:21. Then Jesus told them, truly, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this Mount of Olives, move over into the ocean, and it will. You can get anything. Yes, anything you ask for in prayer, if you believe. Now, obviously we don't believe these things. There's something wrong with these awesome statements when Christians let the enemy beat up on us in sickness and disease and poverty and everything else if we don't believe these things. No wonder we don't get anything from God. But God has given us these mighty precious promises so that by these great and precious promises, we can become partakers of God's divine nature. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he clearly tells us that to those that have obtained this like precious faith, in other words, the knowledge of these things, by knowledge of these great promises, and we, once we gain this great knowledge and great understanding through these great revelations, we can take these great and precious promises like these I've been reading and ask for virtually anything we want as children of God. And Jesus clearly says these things shall be ours. Why in the world, as Christians, don't we stand on these things? I mean, I've done it many times in the last few years. I'll tell you, just like here a couple of years ago, in fact, 2.5 years ago, There was a little girl at that time, about 6-7 years old, that had been injured in an automobile accident and had a tremendous scar on the top of, right above her eyes, had a tremendous scar. And I prayed over that scar, and in 30 days, our Jesus took that scar completely off of that little girl's head. All I did was quote the word of God to the king, where he said, I watch over my word to perform my word. Now, if he's watching over his word to perform it, and he is the one that wrote this will, and he's the one that watches over this will, he's the one that died to make this will come into effect, and then he's the one that rose from the dead to watch over this will to make sure this will comes to pass, just like he wrote it, then why should we as his children have any fear? Why should we be afraid of the devil? This beast that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, when he steps into our lives to do his best to steal, kill, or destroy, why don't we come against him with the word of God and drive him away? I guess the reason we don't is the same reason I didn't most of my life, because I didn't know these great and awesome promises. And another thing I didn't know, I didn't understand my legal right to use the name of Jesus. But let me explain something a little bit here. Let me go to Hebrews chapter 1 and start with verse 3. It said, God's Son shines out with God's glory, and all that God's Son is and does marks him as God. He regulates the universe by the mighty power of his command. He is the one who died to cleanse us and clear our record of all sin. And then he sat down in highest honor beside the great God of heaven. Thus he became far greater than the angels, as proved by the fact that his name, Son of God, which was passed on to him from his Father, is far greater than the names and titles of the angels. Let's stop and think about this a minute. Let's really let these verses soak in to our spirits, and if we will, these will become very powerful to you. Now stop and think about what we've been saying, his name, how great it is. Now then, let's read another verse here. Ephesians chapter 1, start verse 19. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven, far, far above any other king or ruler or dictator or leader. Yes, his honor is far more glorious than that of anyone else, either in this world or in the world to come. And verse 22, and God has put all things under his feet and made him the supreme head of the church, which is his body, filled with himself, the author and giver of everything, everywhere. Now think about that. Is that pretty awesome? In fact, in the King James, in verse 21, it says, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The name of Jesus. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. That is the greatest name in the universe. The power in that name. Now, Philippians 2, starting with verse 8, says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that amazing what he has said here? The power of the name of Jesus. There's not a name anywhere in the cosmos that's more powerful than the name of our King. Well, let's see what he said we could do with the name of Jesus. Let's go take a couple of verses. Let's go to John 16:23-24. Let's see if we believe this book. John 16:23, and in that day, what day? Today. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. This is Jesus talking. But truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, wait a minute. What kind of a promise is that? And in this day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, is that an awesome statement or is that an awesome statement? Then why do we use that? Well, let me tell you, 3 years ago, I took that very verse right there in John 16:23-24. I walked into a hospital room with a little 6-year-old girl that had her head busted open right above her eyes, and her pelvics, her seatbelt held, and both of her pelvics were crushed. The doctor said, if she lives, she'll have brain damage more than likely, and it will be 2.5 to 3 months minimum before she can stand with a walker. I walked into that room, quoted those two verses, John 16:23-24, 3 years ago, and said, this little girl will be out of here nothing flat. I said, and he will do such, my Jesus, will do such a mighty work of restoration on this little girl, everybody will know that only he could have done it. Because he said, right there in John 16:23-24, I could ask the Father in the name of Jesus for anything, and he would do it for me. So I said, Lord, it's done. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In 1 week, the little girl was out of ICU. 1 more week, she's out of the hospital walking with a walker. But in 3 more days, 2.5 total weeks from the day of the accident, she was back in school running and playing. Now then, if Jesus said we can ask for those kind of things, why don't we use these verses more often? You know, it just never ceases to amaze me. I'm guessing that the reason the church does not use these mighty promises is because they don't know they're in their Bible. If they knew these promises were there and they were for them, the children of God, they would stand on these promises and you would see the glory of God. But the devil's done a good job of deceiving us. Well, I think it's time we stop letting him deceive us and we start believing the Word of God. Now, if you'd like some teaching, some audio and video, CDs, DVDs on these things, give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll send you a box of free and postpaid audio and video tapes. And if you'd like to go to our web, www.tlsm.org. There you can order what you want, free and postpaid. Praise the Lord. Remember, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. We're talking about what we can do by faith in the name of Jesus. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you for the privilege to enter the throne of grace by the name and the blood of Jesus. Lord, we praise you and thank you that our King Jesus did it all. All we got to do is believe and act on these things. Now, Lord, if we study your word today, help us, Father, to understand and reveal to us the truths of the mighty word of the living God. So we can take this book as your children and stand on it in these last days and see you do things that will bring glory and honor to you, because only you are worthy for these things to be done. Now, Father, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Now then, let's go on here. We're going to see what we can do in the name of Jesus. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. And one of the scriptures I told you about, I got a little girl healed. It was supposed to be take 2.5 to 3 months before she could take a step with a walker. And in 2.5 weeks, with these two verses, she's out of the hospital, back in school, running and playing. And those two verses were John 16:23 and 24. John 16:23 and 24. Now listen to what the king said. Now Jesus made us this promise. He's talking himself here in John 16. Verse 23 and 24, he says, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." What day? Today. He's talking about this day right now. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, or before now, have you asked nothing in my name, but ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." What do you do as a Christian with a magnificent statement like that from your daddy's handbook? I'm telling you, you use it. That's what you do with it. And by using that verse, if you'll just walk in obedience to his word and believe him, you will begin to see the king of the universe, his name is Jesus, do some wonderful, absolutely wonderful, awesome things. In the last few years since I've learned these principles, I have seen the Lord do so many awesome things. I've seen him answer prayers. I've asked him for angels, and I've seen angels come and do wonderful things for me. I mean, I've seen bodies healed. I've seen scars taken off people's body. I've seen new organs made in people's bodies. I've seen crushed skulls put back together. I've seen severed brain stems put back together. I've seen blind eyes open up. I mean, God is awesome. I've seen crushed knees instantly healed, and somebody get up off of them and walk and run and play in just a matter of minutes, when just a few minutes before, the doctor had said, "You'll never walk again." Let me tell you, with Jesus, nothing is hard. With the King, he is awesome. In fact, I'll tell you a little story right here, right quick, since today is Friday. I'll tell you that I was in a workplace about 4 years ago, I guess. Maybe not quite that long ago, 3.5, 4 years ago. And a woman there in that operation fell, and her right arm landed on an oven door of a big commercial oven that the steel door had been closed just a few minutes before in a 350-400 degree environment. And of course that door is still very, very hot. And whenever she slipped and her arm fell on that door, of course it did, her arm had no cloth over it at all, just a naked arm. And I'm telling you, it just burned and blistered that woman's arm something fierce. She was screaming at the top of her lungs. I mean, I was back in another area of the building. I heard somebody screaming. I went running back there when I saw what happened. This woman was so burned on that right arm. She must have had a burn. Oh, it's 8 or 10 inches long. It was from right above, about 4 or 5 inches above her wrist up to just about 4 inches above her elbow. Big burn all across the bottom of her arm. Big blisters already coming up, black, everything. So she was screaming. Other people had run to get the first aid kit. They're trying to put salve on it, cold water on it, all kinds of things. I ran up there and grabbed her left arm with my right hand and began to quote the Word of God. I said, "In Isaiah 53:4, Jesus bore your pain." I happen to know the word in there that's griefs and sorrows, means pains and sickness. So I said, "He bore your pain," according to Isaiah 53:4, "so you won't have to bear it." Then I said, in Mark 16:17-18, Jesus said, "And lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And then I said, Mark 11:23, he says, "Whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe it with my heart, I'll have it." Those are the powerful, precious promises God gave us to overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith or our knowledge and understanding of God's mighty word. I quoted those verses, stood on his word, and in a matter of minutes, all of her pain was gone, and she wouldn't even go to the doctor. Now, she went ahead and served a cafeteria meal that evening, those big blisters on her arm, and everybody got to see those blisters. Everybody could not believe that she would not go to the doctor. They knew she had to be in pain, but she was not in pain. There was no pain. She went home that night. Her husband wanted to take her to the doctor when he saw it. She told him there's no pain. She said, you know, I might go tomorrow if it's still hurting, but right now there is no pain. So she went to bed that night, 11, 12 o'clock, whatever time it was, and woke up the next morning and rolled over and looked at her arm, and there was not one single blister or mark, scab, scar, or nothing. The Edelina's arm was completely healed overnight. Well, the next day when she come back to work, little Melody, she's one of the cooks back there, and she looked up and she saw that woman's arm, and she says, Edelina, how's your arm? Edelina held her arm up and said, look. Melanie screamed. She said, another answer to Thurman's prayer. Praise the Lord. These are some of the kind of things you can do when you get to where you believe these mighty things we've been talking about this week. Now, I'm going to go to another place here, and I'm going to show you in Acts chapter 3, starting verse 1, and we'll 1 through 8, and see what Peter and John did with the name of Jesus. Now, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting. As they approached the temple, they saw a man lame from birth. How long? Lame from birth, carried along the street and laid beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate, as was his custom every day. Now, it's amazing how they bring people to church to set them out to beg for money, and nobody has faith to get them healed. But it happened 2,000 years ago, and it's still happening today. As Peter and John were passing by, he asked them for some money. They looked at him intently, and then Peter said, look here. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift or some money. But Peter said, we don't have any money for you, but I'll give you something else. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Boy, what faith. Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and pulled him to his feet. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened, so that he came up with a leap. He stood there a moment and began walking. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Verse 16, Jesus' name has healed this man. And you know how lame he was before. Faith in Jesus' name, faith given us from God, has caused this perfect healing. Now, how did they get this man healed? By faith in the name of Jesus. Now, I think we in the church ought to start taking this name, since these promises are for us, and these promises are all over the Word of God. I have just quoted a few of them, and I've told you just a few of the many mighty, wonderful things I've seen God do with these verses. Why in the world, in America, in the church, do we not believe these mighty things that the Lord says? Now then, let's go over here and let's look at some other things that Jesus said we could do. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. These are powerful scriptures. I don't know how many years I didn't believe these, but I believe them now, and I get to see God do some wonderful things. But in Mark 16, 15, and Jesus told them, you are to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone everywhere. Where? Good news to everyone everywhere. And those who believe and are baptized will be saved. But those who refuse to believe will be condemned. Now, he makes that pretty clear, doesn't he? To everybody that believes that he is the king of the universe and accept his name and is baptized in his name, believing shall be healed and saved. And he says, and those who shall use my authority and those who believe, now all the believers that believe, not all the believers, but all those who believe shall use my authority or my name to cast out demons. And they shall speak with new languages. They will be able even to handle snakes or Satan with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them at all. And they will be able to place their hands on the sick and heal them. Why in the world does the church not believe these things? And verse 17 in Mark 16 of King James says, and these signs shall, not maybe, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. We shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How do you apply God's word? First, you do not try to believe it. You do believe it, and then you act on it. I never saw a miracle until I just began to do what the Lord said. And they, in other words, whenever he said it, you will begin to see all kinds of miracles if you will believe the word of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's in Hebrews 13:8. You know, if we try to beg and plead God to do wonderful things for what he has already given us by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, he won't do nothing for you. You've got to read this Word and get in it and believe it. And then when you begin, all we have to do is come to him in faith, and he promised it to us. Why in the world don't the church begin to believe these mighty promises that are written in the Word of God? Praise the King. If you'd like any of these teachings, free and postpaid, or all kinds of audio and video and DVDs and CDs, everything, if you'll give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We will be happy to send you a box of audio, video teachings, free and postpaid. Now then, if you go to our website, you can find out what we have, many of the things we have, and we'll be happy to send them to you. You can fill out the form there and send and put your address and everything, and we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord.